right, this is Connections for this Thursday. I'm Rick Moore, along with Josh Arnold, our producer and engineer. Milton Klosky, of course, Bill Newell off this week with a much-deserved vacation. Well, I hope it's a vacation for him. I don't know if he went to Aruba or what, but we are back with Connections. We continue this program, try to get it up posted every morning at 10 a.m. Sometimes we don't get it up there in time. Bill always does, but not me. I get behind. Anyway, Josh will be with us this morning, and let's welcome in Josh Arnold. How are you?
Good. All's well.
Excellent. Observations on what's going on this week. What crosses your mind? And then we'll first, let me tell people a little bit about who our guests are today. We'll be talking with Karen Carroll, who is the Gloucester Public Health Director in the city, and she'll give us an update on things in terms of the virus and reopening and that kind of thing. And then we'll also chat with Tricia Boisvert. She is the CEO of a place called Sailing Heels, Tricia Boisvert. I have to make sure I pronounce that right. Learning French is difficult for me, but a very, very unique program that she has to talk about. So we'll be talking with those people here this morning. And Josh, what crosses your mind today?
Well, it's interesting to see how everybody's impacted as we reopen, and the growing pains that everybody is having with that. This people aren't quite sure that. I don't know. I'd compare it to going to the beach in the summer, and it's you're not so sure how warm the water is, and sticking your feet in the water, and kind of having to gradually go in because you know you're kind of normalized to the air and water temperature. And I think people are still trying to feel things out and adjusting to life with restrictions or semi-restrictions, and we've got a lot of our stories are talking about that. We had just had a good we have Peter Hood talking about that with a local golf club, and but it's changing everybody's world from takeout to you know, we're not there yet where you can dine out, or I guess maybe you can, but in different phases. But everyone's, it's a slow tide coming in terms of what we're able to do, and it's interesting to watch that.
Well, you mentioned Peter Hood, the general manager of the Bass Rocks Golf Club, and we will be talking with him tomorrow on Connections. We'll have him on. And again, today it's the Gloucester Public Health Director, Karen Carroll, and Tricia Boisvert, who is the CEO of Sailing Heels. One thing I do want to mention was yesterday we talked to both Lieutenant Jeremiah Nicastro of the Gloucester Police Department, and he's involved with a community outreach program in Gloucester that's very, very, very successful and very empathetic and compassionate as well. We also talked with the North Andover Police Chief, Charles Gray, who is also the president of the North Shore Chiefs Association. And interesting, in talking with Chief Gray, Josh, immediately and right off the bat, condemning the police brutality, condemning the violent murder of George Floyd, but also letting people know that, without mentioning defunding or anything like that, that there is an ongoing evaluation of police departments throughout the state and throughout the county, and they are constantly in touch with officials and guidelines as to policing and latest updates and technology and all that kind of thing. And he just wanted people to know that, you know, what happened in Minnesota ain't going to happen here, in so many words. But this whole thing is on the minds, obviously, of everybody, I think, in the area.
Yeah, and it's interesting to follow the thread on a national level, the protests, the occupying streets in Seattle, the NASCAR coming out with there'll be no more Confederate flags, the tearing down of statues around the country. This is quite an era for us, and lots of things that people were fairly passive about, or you know, And I think the resentment on some issues has been held back, and this issue has been the catalyst to bring all of that forward, and it's showing up everywhere.
Well, I'm looking forward to, we're going to be talking with the Reverend Vernon Walker, who is the policy director of the Young Democrats of Massachusetts, on Friday. I'm not sure when we'll post that, but he has reached out and would like to talk to us about the current racial climate in Boston. He's very in tune with that, and I'm really looking forward to getting his ideas, his opinions, and his thoughts on that. And I think this is on the mind of everyone right now. And as you mentioned, yeah, change. I noticed that there was, besides statues being taken down, besides the Confederate flag being banned in various places, there's also a move afoot that the Secretary of Defense is willing to listen to about renaming some of the facilities, the Army and Navy, the military facilities in New England. I didn't know, for example, I was at Fort Hood for a long time. I was at Fort Benning for a while, Fort Bragg for a while. I didn't know that those facilities were named after Confederate generals. And the one thing that Tim Kearns always points out that we should remember, people who are talking about the Confederate flag as part of Americana and the Confederate States, I don't think we should forget in any way, shape, or form that that was the only time, not the only time, but the Confederate States of America, that army, declared war on the United States of America. And so, you know, that was a treason of the highest order, and they wanted to secede from the Union, in effect, to defend slavery. And so, you know, I don't know how you can sugarcoat that.
No, you can't sugarcoat it. But from their viewpoint, not all of that was about slavery. A lot of it was about slavery. But we're a society that's evolving. And, you know, when we had the American Revolution, and we formed our United States Constitution, they were still wrestling with the issue of slavery then, and they ducked it, really, because that was the only way that they could come together to form a nation. And so they didn't engage it, but there were those people who said even back when the country was being founded that slavery was wrong. And there are those who tell you that there were a lot, that it's the federalism and states' rights and other things contributed, but there's a thing that's happened in the last 10 years that's hard to get your arms around, and that is that while history evolves and society evolves, and there are lots of things that were done in the past that were part of that evolution, does that make do we make those things? How can you look at those things through today's lens and make them evil? And I'm not saying that slavery wasn't evil. Of course it was. What I'm saying is that were the people who defended, you know, defended whatever they defended, whether it was slavery or something else, are they evil? They were still Americans. Yeah, they were defending their statehood or whatever. I don't know if they all knew. They weren't all slaveholders, but they defended their state and their what they thought was right. Post Civil War, there was a level of payback, if you will. So, and if you go into the for a period of time, they confiscated the estate of General Robert E. Lee. The statue of Sherman, General Sherman, was the horse was facing north, and the rear end of the horse was facing south, and that was a design play to kind of rub it into the south that they won, and that they could only see the ass end of the horse. There's a lot of subtleties and not so subtleties of punitive things being metered out 100 years ago, and some of those should have, some of those things that we just took for granted should have gone 100 years ago and in heaven, and the Confederate flag and just the way people are treated should have, you know, we fought that war how many years ago, and we're still dealing with the repercussions of the attitudes that drove us to that war.
Yep, and healing is necessary, and one of the things we're going to find out today about healing is when we talk with Tricia Boisvert, who talks about sailing heels. I think you'll find it a fascinating interview. Also, Karen Carroll is on our list of things to do today. She's the Gloucester Public Health Director, and she'll update us as to how things are proceeding on Cape Ann. So please stay tuned. This is Connections with Josh Arnold, and I'm Rick Moore.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
We are once again joined by the Gloucester Public Health Director, Karen Carroll. And Karen, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Rick. Thanks for having me again.
Well, you know, things are rolling along. It's the second week in June already. Memorial Day has passed. But, you know, I got to tell you, Karen, this feels almost like the beginning of 2020 to me. And I guess it's psychological, but it just seems that I can't believe half the year is almost gone already.
I know. I agree. It's been a strange time warp we've all been in. In some ways, it's gone quite quickly.
Well,
here we are in June, coming out of our cocoons of hibernation, right?
Yeah, that's it. And we are. And I think, from what I'm reading and learning about, the virus has been as dangerous as was predicted in so many ways, on the one hand. On the other hand, here, at least in Cape Ann, in Massachusetts in general, this part of Massachusetts, we've weathered the storm okay. Not to belittle the tragedies, of course, but it does seem as though the steps that you and the governor and others in the healthcare industry have advised have made an impact.
Well, hopefully, and you know, you never know how much worse it all could have been. You know, I think we have the outdoors on our side. We're referring to things weathering the storm pretty well at the moment. Massachusetts was hit quite hard overall in the nation by COVID, but at the moment we are seeing nice decreases in case numbers, hospitalizations, percent positive testing in the community. So that's a really good thing, and I think that that is largely to all of the efforts of everyone in our community, our agencies who have who deal with our high-risk populations have just been so on top of this from day one with good hygiene, encouraging face coverings, supporting people so they don't have to be out and about. So yeah, you know, I'd like to think that all the things we're all doing are making a big difference. I also think that the weather and the fact that people can be outdoors is really on our side. We know that the virus spreads a lot more easily in an enclosed space. So if we're all inside, you know, that's when we had a lot more problems. So it's great to see people outside exercising, even visiting in small groups with each other, keeping safely apart or wearing a face covering if you can't. But, you know, we know that the outdoors is definitely on our side, and hopefully that will really continue and give us all a break from this this virus for a little while.
You have promoted getting outside from day one, as I recall, and you know, people are able to do that even more now. And we are in what's called phase two. The beaches have reopened even a little bit more, which is great to see. I walked by Main Street and Rogers Street in Gloucester yesterday, and I saw several restaurants that had outdoor seating and dining. And the one thing obviously that stood out were the face shields that the waitstaff was wearing. And I wonder if you could tell me how difficult is that to work with those on? Because I find just wearing a face covering inhibiting quite a bit just when I'm out just walking. And I don't do it when I'm running. I run an isolated path, so I don't use my face. But the face covering itself I find very inhibiting. And yet here we are watching waitstaff and people who are trying to wait on others wear these shields on. So it can't be easy on the workers.
No, I'm sure it's not. I mean, I have not tried one of the face shields. I've seen them. So my hope is that maybe because they don't actually seal to your face, they allow you to breathe a little more comfortably while protecting you as well from any water droplets. But I don't know. I've not worn them. And but yes, I think your point is right that it's difficult for a lot of workers who are required to wear face masks if they're going to come within 6 feet of people, which of course a waiter would, or a waitress. So those are some of the challenges, and I definitely feel for some of the employees going into workplaces where they really have to wear those face coverings or shields, and it is warm or stuffy or whatever conditions they need to work in. It's a real challenge, and my hat goes off to people who are working in some of these conditions and getting back out there with all the uncertainty as well. I think they're very brave. And, you know, their managers are doing a lot, too, and taking it really seriously that best we know and see. We've had a lot of calls with the Chamber of Cape Ann and a lot of businesses on the line, just, you know, really working hard to prepare, to protect their patrons, to protect their staff, to follow the guidelines from the state. And that's really great to see. You know, that's important to protect their workers, but also to be able to stay open and not have any transmission at their business.
Has the intensity of your meetings gone down a little bit, or the frequency, either one of those? Because, you know, it seems a little bit more relaxed on the one hand, but on the other hand, as you said, there are still so many unknowns about this thing.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, things do keep changing. You know, we went into phase two yesterday, so there's a bunch of calls from the state and businesses, how to manage that, and then within the city. And then they're talking about a part two or a stage two of phase two. So, and that will likely be like a week or two away, because the phases are only 2 to 3 weeks if all goes well. So, you know, yeah, they keep coming. It's a little bit different role. I think our health department is catching a break from some of the more clinical public health issues and moving into more of a support role to our community to really be a resource for them. Our food inspector has been round the clock busy trying to help these restaurants figure it out and work with them. Our other inspectors, our housing inspectors, are working with different types of businesses. Our public health nurses are teaming up with inspectors if there are any concerns in larger businesses. So we've put a lot of new things in place, but our role's a little bit different. It's a little less full-on panic for me, yeah. A little more how can I help? And to be honest, it's quite nice for me to be in this place. And I see really great things. I see largely the community being so responsible. If they're out and about near others, walking close to someone on the boardwalk, most people have a face covering or pull it up over them, and that's great to see. You know, we're just trying to protect everybody so we can keep doing all the things that we like to do and keep our businesses open.
Yeah, it seems like we've let up a little on the throttle, and that's a good thing. I think, finally, my final question is, Karen, for today is, with businesses reopening and some places getting back online now that may not have been following this thing so closely, if they do have questions, what do they do? Do they go to the mayor's office? They go to the Gloucester website? What's the best way to get questions answered for those people?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we are following the governor's task force, reopening task force, and I have to give credit there to that office. They have done a tremendous job, and virtually every industry has a document and a checklist that is specific to their industry. So if you're a pet groomer, you can go to mass.gov/reopening, and you can find the paperwork and all of the requirements for a pet groomer to safely operate. And that's what we're encouraging businesses to do, to just go to the website, work through the checklist. We've done a couple of training videos for some industries that have more specific needs or training needs. But largely, it's all on the checklist. And, you know, and then if they still have questions, they can reach out to us or the state directly. I mean, usually we have to ask the question to the state. But, you know, every business is a little bit different. There's all these little nuances to it. But, you know, most of the questions and concerns and things businesses need to do and agencies need to do to reopen are all covered on that mass.gov website. And that's the best place to start. And then, of course, they can email any of us in the city. If you send something to the mayor's office or through the civic, the request line on our website, it'll get directed to the right person that can help you. And we do field a lot of those as well. But, yeah, however they want to connect, if they know someone, they work with someone in the city, they can reach out to them, and they'll connect us. We're doing a lot of work with our community development office and their contacts with the business community through the Chamber, Discover Gloucester, independent businesses. We really want to get the word out to them about what they need, and we're trying to be responsive to needs they have. They had a lot of questions about a lot of the human resource issues that come up. You know, what if an employer can't come back to work? What if they refuse to? What if somebody gets COVID at the workplace? So we've produced a great video, and thanks to an HR group in Beverly who joined our task force, and that's available as well on the website, and it covers everything employers would want to know about returning work to work and HR issues. So that's a great resource, and as we hear the businesses tell us they need things like that, we try really hard to develop whatever tool we can to support them.
Terrific information, and mostly good news. Karen, thank you so much, and we'll talk again next week, I hope.
Okay, Rick. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Stay well.
Enjoy the day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Karen Carroll, who is the Public Health Director in the City of Gloucester.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors, like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
Very happy now to be joined by Tricia Boisvert, who is the owner and leader, if you will, of an exciting program I want to talk about here and learn about. It's called Sailing Heels. And Tricia, first of all, welcome to MSO.
Great. Thank you so much, Rick, for having me.
You know, I've heard...
Go ahead.
Well, I've heard a lot of things about healing in different aspects with animals and with different things, but this is the first time I've heard of Sailing Heels. So please explain your terrific program.
Well, thanks, Rick. Yes, we started it just 9 years ago this month, actually. And so we're tacking toward our 10th year in 2021, and we started it in Marblehead, Massachusetts. And since then, when we're fully operational, we host cancer patients and caregivers in over 20 ports around the country.
That is amazing. And maybe you could give me an example of someone that has availed themselves of your program and how it has worked, maybe a typical, I don't know, day or morning or afternoon or however it works?
Sure, yes. Well, what happens is it's all volunteer host captains that share their beautiful hobby with us, and we have about 250 enrolled in the program formally, and they patient guests and caregivers arrive about 11:30 at a yacht club. We give them a lovely complimentary lunch, and then we go out sailing on individually owned boats. So we'll get a fleet of 4 to 6 boats together, and we'll all take off around the same time. And everybody kind of cruises in their own direction and stay out and enjoys just nature and getting away from cancer and the stress of life on land for a while.
Who came up with this idea?
Actually, it was my twin sister that came up with the idea. She's a co-founder, and our mother has had cancer 16 years. She's still battling cancer, God bless her, and just had her 86th birthday. But we knew we could not solve her cancer, but we knew we could do something to give her some joy and give other cancer patients joy. So that's how we came up with the idea of Sailing Heals.
You know, something like that, too. As you get further away from the event, once you've had it, you experience it, you go out on it, but as you get further away from it, it gets better and better in your mind, and you have a really special place you can go back to. Have you experienced that with some of your clients?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Some of our patient guests have told us that they've thought about it in the winter when they've had particularly bad days, maybe couldn't get out of bed, and they've looked at pictures from their sail, or they've had mental images. And just that joy, you know, a lot of people told us it was the best day of their summer, and it gave them something to talk about with their caregiver or loved one besides cancer.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. This is so cool. Now, there's a picture on your website on the page that tells your story, obviously with your story, and also there's a picture of the board of directors, and a couple of people that just pop right out at me are Bill Richard and Jeff Bauman. Can you tell me a little bit about that picture or your board of directors?
Sure, absolutely. We have a terrific board of directors, and Bill Richard has been on it for about 7 years now out of our 9 years. And we also do a sale every year for survivors of traumatic injury, and that started right after the Boston bombing. And so that first event we did was the summer of the bombing. We took out a lot of amputees and other people that were very, very impacted by the bombing. And it was a very casual thing at first, just to, you know, lend a hand and see what we could do to give them a good day away from therapy and pain. And it led to 7 years of an event called our Wicked Strong Sale. So that's how I met Bill Richard and his family, and also Jeff Bauman and his family, and, you know, we've all become good friends, and we continue to help survivors of traumatic injury when we are able to take patients sailing.
It's just incredible. Now, obviously, with the pandemic and so on, you guys haven't been able to do the sailing thing, but you've been involved in other ways. So tell us about some of your community involvement that has happened recently.
Sure. Yes, sadly, like everybody else, we've been working really hard to rethink our mission. We certainly want to get back to it at the first possible time, but right now it's just unsafe to do that, and not legal, actually, in the moment. So what we are doing is we're doing Sailing Heals meals, and that's been very rewarding for us and for a lot of caregivers. We are helping medical workers, mostly on the North Shore of Boston. And Bill Richard and the Martin Richard Foundation gave us an initial generous grant to get that off the ground. And so we've helped 1,300 medical workers and just showed our gratitude because they show up for work every day to help keep us and our community safe. And we just want to say thank you. So we are still helping caregivers through our Sailing Heals Meals program while we're not able to take patients sailing.
That is amazing. That's wonderful. Now, I'm noticing,
yeah.
It's funny, I just saw another picture. I should have met you earlier so I could have been introduced to Pete Townsend of The Who, but that's another story for another day. That's incredible. But tell me a little bit about your fundraisers and how you how this program is supported.
Sure. I do want to say that Sailing Heals Meals has another benefit as well. We've helped 7 or 8 restaurants and businesses around the Salem area and in Gloucester with the Sailing Heals Meals program because we're buying the meals through them thanks to our sponsors and donors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gotten them through a tough time as well. It's just helped them pay the bills and get involved in something as well. So that's been an excellent benefit of the program. And we also had a small program going in Newport, Rhode Island, thanks to my sister serving medical workers down there. So, yeah, our sponsors for this, again, have been the Martin Luther Foundation, Salem 5 Charitable Foundation just got involved, so we're so grateful for that. Eisai Pharmaceutical has been a very good corporate sponsor for us. And then personal and private donations. So we're very grateful because they're helping us say thank you to these caregivers.
Mm. Now, if there is a patient who, how does it work for a patient who wants to avail themselves of your program? How does that work?
Sure, Rick. When we are operational, we will have events on our website in the events tab. And usually we do anywhere from 24 to 26 sales a year around the country. This year, of course, it's very different. When we do start sailing again, though, we'll probably start with our Nurses Appreciation Sale, which we do just about every year. But, you know, it's just we have to be very careful with this virus, and we have a compromised population
yeah.
that we serve. And so we do want to thank the nurses and medical workers. So we might ease into it by taking medical workers out first, see how that goes, and then open it up as soon as it's safe for patients and caregivers again.
Sounds good. Now, are you...
our website. Though, to answer your question, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Get on and register.
Nope, that's good. Well, I'm going to link to the website also. I'll have the link up on our interview when we post it. Now, you know, as executive director of Sailing Heels, are you the captain of your own ship?
Well, I am a worthy crew member, but don't ask me to skipper the boat.
Okay.
So I enjoy it very much, but you don't want me to be your skipper.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm having...
There are more qualified people out there.
I'm having fun just looking at the pictures. This is incredible. So is there anything else, Tricia, you want to mention? Because this is such a unique program, but the goodwill that you're putting forth in the community has to be applauded, and it's just great, the work that you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you, Rick, and it's so nice of you to share it with your audience as well. No, we just want to do something in the world. There's so many crazy things happening, and if we can add a little bit of joy to the world and remind people that there is goodness, you know, there's people that are kind out there that really do care, and alleviate some pain and stress for a few hours, we're happy to do it. So thank you so much for sharing the good word.
That is the executive director of Sailing Heels, Tricia Boisvert.